Okay, well, I've got a word of encouragement for you today, and it's called, Which Will You Choose? Which will you choose? You know, we've just ended the Thanksgiving holiday here in the United States this past weekend. It's December 1st, and we're entering the Christmas season. You know, so many people have so many ideas what Christmas is all about. The world, non-believers, think that the season is about getting things. Others focus on the lights and the sights. You know, others see it as a time for relaxing with family and friends. And in America, you know, the Christmas season has become so commercialized. If you watch TV, you see commercials about things you can buy, places you can go. People get so caught up in the busyness of the season that they forget the reason for the season. And I'm preaching to myself. Let me read this to you. I received this over email some years ago. It's a good little story. It's called The W in Christmas. Each December, I vow to make Christmas a calm and peaceful experience. I had cut back on non-essential obligations, extensive card writing, endless baking, decorating, and even overspending. Yet still, I found myself exhausted, unable to appreciate the precious family moments and, of course, the true meaning of Christmas. My son Nicholas was in kindergarten that year. It was an exciting season for a six-year-old. For weeks, he'd been memorizing songs for his school's winter pageant. I didn't have the heart to tell him I'd be working the night of the production. Unwilling to miss a shining moment, I spoke with his teacher. She assured me there'd be a dress rehearsal the morning of the presentation. All parents unable to attend that evening were welcome to come then. Fortunately, Nicholas seemed happy with the compromise. So the morning of the dress rehearsal, I filed in 10 minutes early, found a spot on the cafeteria floor, and sat down. Around the room, I saw several other parents quietly scampering to their seats. As I waited, the students were led into the room. Each class, accompanied by their teacher, sat cross-legged on the floor. Then each group, one by one, rose to perform their song. Because the public school system had long stopped referring to the holiday as Christmas, I didn't expect anything other than fun, commercial entertainment songs of reindeer, Santa Claus, snowflakes, and good cheer. So when my son's class rose to sing Christmas Love, I was slightly taken aback by its bold title. Nicholas was aglow, as were all of his classmates, adorned in fuzzy mittens, red sweaters, and bright snow caps upon their heads. Those in the front row center stage held up large letters, one by one, to spell out the title of the song. As the class would sing C is for Christmas, a child would hold up the letter C. H is for happy, and on, until each child holding up his portion had presented the complete message, Christmas Love. So you get the picture here, right? The performance was going smoothly until suddenly we noticed her, a small, quiet girl in the front row holding up the letter M upside down. Totally unaware, her letter M appeared as a W. The audience of first through sixth graders snickered at this little one's mistake. But she had no idea why they were laughing at her. So she stood tall, proudly holding her W. Although many teachers tried to shush the children, the laughter continued until the last letter was raised and we saw it all together. A hush came over the audience and eyes began to widen. In that instant, we understood the reason we were there, why we celebrated the holiday in the first place, why even in the chaos, there was a purpose for our festivities. For when the last letter was held high, the message read loud and clear, Christ was love. Christ was love. Friend, it is the season of love. Choosing to send Jesus to this earth was God's ultimate act of love. And Jesus choosing to leave the beauty of heaven to come to this earth as a babe was a demonstration of his love. You see, Jesus is the reason for the season. Unlike the world, our motive for celebrating Christmas should be to give. Just as Jesus gave of himself so that we could live. Let's open with a famous scripture after which this place is named, John 3:16. You might want to turn to it. You might know it by heart. John 3:16, the founder of this shelter called John 3:16, the gospel in a nutshell, because that's what it is. So I'll read it to you from the NIV. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. What is the key word in this verse? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. If you look at John 3:16, what would you say is the key word in this verse? You got it, brother. It's gave. Let's talk about choosing to give for the next few minutes. As I said earlier, God chose to give his very best, his one and only Son, Jesus, because only Jesus, God the Son, was able to pay for the sins of the world. See, no mortal could pay for his own sins. None of us could pay for our sins. There was only one that could do it, and that was Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, God the Son. God chose to send Jesus because he loved us. And as I said earlier, Jesus chose to leave the splendor of heaven to be born as a babe and come to a sin-riddled world, so that by faith in him, we could live eternally in heaven one day. See, God chose to send Jesus, and Jesus chose to come. Now, what is the essence of true love? Think about it. The essence of true love is what?
But just true love by itself. That's good enough, ain't it?
Okay, that's good. Anybody else? What is the essence, the core of true love? Okay. Anybody else? Is it sacrifice? Somebody else?
Giving.
Okay, giving.
Commitment.
Think about it. The essence of true love is choice.
Right.
See, if you're manipulated to be kind to someone, it's not true love. It's manipulation. If somebody says to you, you know what? If you buy me a $25 gift for Christmas, I'll buy you a $25 gift for Christmas. Buy me a $25 gift and I'll buy you one. That's not true love coming from you. That's manipulation. True love is based on choice. The essence of true love is choice. Now, giving, we would agree, is an expression of love, right?
Yes.
So we can say that the essence of giving is choice. The essence of true giving from the heart is choice. In other words, friends, you have got to choose from the bottom of your heart this Christmas season to give. You can't be manipulated. And you might be thinking today, well, Jonathan, it's tough for me to do. I can't do it. Well, friends, pray to Almighty God. Say, God, I can't do it on my own. God, I pray that you form on the inside of me the love and the compassion of Jesus Christ so that I could give during this Christmas season. God can form within you the compassion and the love of Jesus Christ so that you can give willingly, not forced, but so that you can give by choice. Because the essence of true love, of true giving, is choice. You have several choices this Christmas season. You can choose to be alone. You can choose to be depressed. You can decide to be self-focused. Or you can choose to your heart's delight to give to someone who is in greater need than yourself. My question to you today is this: which will you choose? I, Jonathan, will choose to give. Which will you choose? And again, you might be asking today, well, Jonathan, how can I choose to give when I'm so needy myself? I'm in such great need financially. I don't have enough money. I don't have a better place to live. I need an apartment, a house. I don't even have a vehicle to drive. I'm in such great need. How can I give? And you know what? This is what a widow might have been asking thousands of years ago, actually, in the Old Testament. A widow in the Old Testament might have been asking this very same question thousands of years ago. Let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings 17. Let's study this one a little bit. You might be wondering, like her, how can I give? 1 Kings 17. The widow of Zarephath. Let's start at verse 1. 1 Kings 17, 1. Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years, except at my word." Verse 2. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kereth ravine east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have ordered the ravens to feed you there." So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kereth ravine east of the Jordan and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Verse 7. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food." So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so that I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread." "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die." Verse 13, Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said, but first make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, the jar of flour will not be used up and the jug of oil will not run dry until the Lord gives rain on the land." Verse 15. She went away and did as Elijah had told her, so there was food every day for Elijah, for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Let's notice a few points about this passage. Verse 12. So he says, you know, "I don't have any bread, Elijah, only a handful of flour and a little bit of oil. Gathering a few sticks to take home, make a meal for my son and me, and then we're going to die." This woman was at the end of her rope. This widow woman. She was giving up on life. She felt like there was no hope left for her. And friend, today you might feel like this widow of Zarephath. You might feel like her. You might feel like you're at the end of your rope. You might feel like giving up on life. You might feel like there's no hope left for you. But I'm here to tell you today that there is hope left for you, friend. You see, look at verse 13. Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid to give." He encouraged her to give. "Because if you give me some bread, God will multiply it back to you." You see, fear tried to hold her back. And that's one of the main reasons people don't give, is because they're afraid to give. They think that if I give, then I'm diminished. I won't have enough for myself. But that's not true. It's when you give that God blesses you in return.
Amen.
And so you might be afraid like this widow woman today. Friend, I'm here to tell you today, don't let fear hold you back. You see, Elijah said, "Make a little cake for me and give it to me." And then in verse 15, it's the key verse. She went away and did as Elijah told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. Now think about this. When she made her choice to give to Elijah, God made his choice to open up the floodgates of heaven and pour out such a blessing upon her that she did not have room to contain. I'm not just speaking words into the air. That's Malachi 3:10, friends. When she made her choice to give to Elijah, God, the creator of heaven and earth, made his choice to open the floodgates of heaven and pour out into her life such a blessing, a superabundant provision of oil and flour, so that she, her son, and Elijah could eat every day. See, when you make your choice to give, God makes his choice to open up the floodgates of heaven. God can do it for you if he did it for her when you make the choice. So you've got to make the choice to step out beyond yourself and to give. And when you do that, what does God do?
Makes his choice.
He makes his choice to do what? So open up the floodgates of heaven and give back to you super abundant provision. You see, God is no respecter of persons. If he did it for this widow woman thousands of years ago, he can do it for you. Don't let fear hold you back. Don't let it hold you back. Choose to give. She chose to step out beyond fear. She chose to step out beyond lost hope, to step out of herself, and to give beyond herself. And God took care of this woman. Amen. How can you make the choice this Christmas season to step beyond fear and give? Think about it. Give friendship to a bridge dweller. You know, there's a lot of people here in Tulsa, in downtown Tulsa, that live underneath the bridges. They live outside. This Christmas season, choose to give friendship to a bridge dweller and watch God bring friends into your life.
Amen.
Choose to give words of encouragement to the hopeless this season. Maybe a God loves you, or maybe a I believe in you, or maybe God has got a plan and a purpose for your life, or maybe you're not on this earth by accident. You're on this earth with a God purpose. Choose to give words of encouragement this Christmas season. You know, decide to give a hug to someone starving for physical affection. Jonathan, I don't have any money in my hands to give. But friends, you've got two hands. You've got two healthy arms. Give somebody a hug. Show them God's love. Show them that somebody out there cares for them. You know, somebody out there may have no money in their hands. You might have $20. Go out and buy that person a generous lunch. Somebody who's hungry and starving, choose to give them lunch. Choose to give an act of service to a helpless person. Maybe there's somebody out there, maybe an older woman who's helpless and has a flat tire. This is just a hypothetical. Choose to give an act of service and change her flat tire out. Giving acts of service. Friends, let me tell you something. God is always watching us. You know, several weeks ago, there was this older woman that I've done work for in the past. I have a business where we do work around people's houses, landscaping work and guttering work and some other types of work. We work on people's houses. And basically, there was this older woman several weeks ago who basically told me earlier in the year that she was financially tight this year. She said, Jonathan, my income has dropped. And so God dealt with my heart and said, Jonathan, just sow a seed of an act of service into her life. Do some free landscaping work for her. So basically, went out with a friend here, Brett, and bought the materials at my expense. Went out and cleaned most of the weeds out of most of her beds, bought the flowers, we planted the flowers in the back beds for her, free of charge. We gave her an act of service. It was awesome. It was so satisfying to do that. God is good. When you give, he multiplies it back to you 30, 60, and 100-fold. He's a good God. As long as this earth remains, Genesis 8:22, there will be seed time and harvest. Sow your seeds of love this Christmas season. God is watching over your give. Say that again. God is watching over your give. And He will repay you. He will reward you abundantly. You agree with that today? God is a good God, right? Yes. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will men give unto your bosom. Luke 6:38. Not only should we be giving during Christmas, but we need to live to give. You've got to live to give. In other words, giving must be a lifestyle. It's not something that we do just during December or on December 25th. It's something that we need to do every single day of our lives. I encourage you, friends, to do it. God is watching over you all the time. He's watching over me. He sees the good that we do. He keeps an account of it. And He will reward us superabundantly. Choose to give. Amen. Amen.